You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Tuesday. Been a fun show. If you miss any of the interviews on this show, danpatrick.com. Reggie Miller will join us coming up in about 15, 20 minutes from now. Phone calls are welcome. We'll get to more of those coming up. The Nets have upgraded James Harden, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, to doubtful for tonight's Game 5, which means it's all on Kevin Durant. Do I rest him? How long can I rest James Harden? I guess depends on who wins tonight and really what his availability is. You can try to rush these things, but you shouldn't, because this could lead to something even bigger and a longer period of time that James Harden is out. Kyrie, with that ankle injury, depending on the severity of it, he's had a couple of days, but doesn't look like he's going to be playing as well. So this falls on Kevin Durant and a supporting cast. You would think that the smartest basketball fans would be people who played the game, or maybe the analytics experts. But the way things are going right now, the orthopedic surgeons might be the real experts. Because the NBA right now, according to McLovin, stands for National Body Part Association. It seems like every time you're hearing about a player, there's a body part attached to it. Anthony Davis's groin, James Harden's hamstring, Kyrie Irving's ankle, Joel Embiid, his knee, Donovan Mitchell's ankle, Trey Young's shoulder, Kawhi Leonard's knee, Chris Paul's shoulder. And then you got Mike Conley's out, Danny Green in Philly, Dante DiVincenzo in Milwaukee. And the problem is, or isn't, that players are soft. I mean, they play hard. The problem is soft tissue. We knew this coming around. A short turnaround, and there were going to be these kind of injuries. And teams and players need to have new strategies to keep guys on the court. And maybe load management isn't working, but that's a question for tomorrow. Right now, the health issue is really the key, trying to figure out who's going to play for a championship this year. It's going to be the walking wounded. You know, the healthiest team is probably going to win an NBA championship. Yeah, McLovin.
You just brought up a great point. I forgot about how tight this season has been. It feels like there's less time in between everything.
Yeah, it feels that way. Last night, the Clippers got the win. You had Kawhi Leonard and Paul George each scoring 31. Leonard and George are just the third duo in NBA history to score at least 20 points in each of their team's first 11 playoff games. The last duo, Shaq and Kobe, and the other duo also played for the Lakers, Jerry West and Elgin Baylor. Mitchell, by the way, had 37, so he's the first player with six consecutive 30-point playoff games since Steph Curry did this in 2019.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
NASCAR Cup Series returns to NBCSN, one of the more anticipated events of the season, a return to Nashville for the first time in decades. The race to the playoffs is in high gear. NASCAR in Nashville Sunday, 3 Eastern on NBCSN. Update the poll results, McLovin.
Okay, hour one and two was, will Aaron Rodgers be the starter week one? It's up to 68% say yes, so pretty much a majority. We were workshopping this poll question. Which favorite in the NBA playoffs is in the most trouble? The Brooklyn Nets, who are the 2 seed, versus Bucks, who are 3. The Sixers, who are the 1 seed, or the Jazz, who are the 1 seed. All the series are tied at 2-2.
Wow. Yeah, Philly's got to be really careful here. You know, tied at 2 games, and that's an Atlanta team that doesn't know enough to be nervous in this situation. I don't think there's a wrong answer here, because I'm looking at the Clippers and now what happens in game. It feels like who wins game 5 is going to win this series, even with Philadelphia and Atlanta, because I said, hey, Philly's going to win game 3 and Atlanta's going to win game 4. Well, here we are. And now you have game 5 coming up tonight with the Bucks and the Nets. Well, I'm going to say that the Nets are the favorites in Vegas, so are they in the most trouble? I think they put themselves... That's pretty vulnerable, man. Because the Bucks are healthy, except for Dante DiVincenzo. But you know, we don't know who's going to show up and when they'll show up and how good they will be when they show up with the Nets. Yeah, Paulie.
I was watching the Sixers last night. Ben Simmons, he was 1 for 5 from the free throw line. Oh. 1 for 5. No one on his team missed a free throw other than him.
Yeah.
The rest of the team was 100%. That's debilitating.
It is. It's one of those where you just go, and everybody knows when you go to the line, you're going, you know, hopefully the miss won't be that bad. Because sometimes you can miss and it'd be like, oh, that was a brick. Or that wasn't even close. You want it where it's like, oh, that almost could have gone in. Yeah, Paul.
There was a situation where the Hawks were going to foul and Simmons inbounded it and ran the other way like he was running from a swarm of bees.
Yeah.
So he didn't get grabbed.
There's a story that I don't know if we have, you know, verification on this, but the U.S. Open is going to start Thursday, Torrey Pines in San Diego. And there is a story that's out there that the PGA Tour or the USGA went to Bryson DeChambeau. He is the defending U.S. Open champ. Brad Faxon, former golfer, mentioned this on Sirius XM radio that the tour went to Bryson DeChambeau and said, would you be willing to play with Brooks Koepka? Now, that'd be great TV. They don't like each other. And according to Brad Faxon, Bryson DeChambeau said no. Now, he's the defending champ. And I know they manipulate these, you know, threesomes or twosomes. I get that. And I would love to see these two play in an event. I think in a major, though, that might be being unfair to Bryson DeChambeau. He's the defending champ. You know, if you were paired with Tiger, that meant you were playing for a championship. Now, guys would talk about how, you know, it was unfair with the crowds and, you know, you had to go through a lot more. And you had a crowd that was pro-Tiger there as well. But you were playing with Tiger, that meant you were probably playing for a title Saturday and Sunday. Maybe Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau end up getting paired on Saturday or Sunday. But I think to be fair to DeChambeau, asking him, I think that was the right thing to do. I do. Because this isn't one of those, oh, those guys, they have a rivalry. They don't like each other. I mean, Koepka definitely doesn't like DeChambeau and doesn't care if he knows it or not. In fact, he wants him to know it. I don't know if DeChambeau doesn't like Brooks Koepka, but it feels like Brooks Koepka does not like Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah, Paul.
If I'm Koepka, I just say, well, Bryson, if you're on the leaderboard on Sunday, you'll be playing with me. You know, talk some smack, raise it up a little bit.
Some phone calls here. Dave in Pennsylvania. Hi, Dave.
Hey, DP, how you doing?
Good.
Always good to talk to you. Listen every day, except for when I was in Vegas. I just got back this morning, and I hate to keep beating a dead horse, the Aaron Rodgers. However, always felt as though Vegas knew what was going on. They have the over-under for Green Bay at 9.5. Now, that tells me that there's no way that Rodgers is going to play. Just wanted to see what you thought about that.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting, Dave. 9.5. Yeah, McLovin.
That feels really low. It should be 10.5 or...
Well, that's the point that he's making.
Yeah, no, I'm totally... I'm amplifying. I agree completely. That's interesting.
You know, maybe he doesn't play for Green Bay, but does that mean he's going to play for somebody else? I just don't see the Packers trading him. Yeah, Paul.
I've got a few other websites that had the Packers at 10.5 or 11 wins as the over-under. I'm not doubting him, but he may have gotten roughed up in Vegas and misremembered.
Yeah, because I'm saying 9.5, I might even take that with Jordan Love.
Yeah, there's teams. The teams that are 9.5 are like the Titans, the Saints, and the Cowboys. I think the Packers had 13 wins last year.
A couple more phone calls here. Jay in Indiana. Hi, Jay. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan. 5'11", 210, pretty good shape for the shape I'm in. Lifelong musician over here.
Doesn't that sound like a country? That sounds like a country song. I'm in pretty good. I'm in pretty good shape for the with the what was that again? I'm in pretty good shape.
My old man used to say that. Yeah, pretty good shape for the shape I'm in.
All right, sounds like I'm going to pass it on to Darius Rucker.
Yeah, all right, do that, man.
All right.
First concert I ever saw, actually, with Darius was Hootie back in the day. Side note. Yeah, man, this stuff about Zeppelin and you know, Bobby P not being able to necessarily do those songs. It's like, you know, you don't know you're writing the song that's impossible to sing when you're 20 or whatever. I have heard, like, Don Henley, and I could be getting the math wrong on this, but I heard they would write songs like a half step down and then record them a half step up, so it was more challenging to sing, and you'd get have to push that hard to get those performances in the studio and then play them in standard key to where you're kind of halfway there. And it's kind of like, you know, putting a donut on the bat in the on-deck circle. You know, you set yourself up, and then you're fast in the box. But right, well. I don't do Zeppelin. I play and sing songs for a living. I don't do Zeppelin because, you know, I got to do this, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a week. It's like load management, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
Sure.
Love you guys. I spend every morning with y'all. Appreciate
thank you, Jay. That's Jay is a professional. And, yeah, you don't write songs going, you hope that you have that choice to sing something 30, 40 years later where you go, I can't quite sing this the way I used to. But, I mean, it's like McCartney when he sings, you know, the hits that he sings. He can't do Helter Skelter the way he did Helter Skelter. Were the Beatles punk before punk? And I know I'm opening up a door here, maybe a garage door, but, you know, what was the Who punk before punk? I'm just curious about that. I was listening to Seton gave me a scrunchy face there. Can you see Beatles with maybe punk before punk?
I actually just was reading something that says the Beatles were the first punks and the most important punks, and nothing that would follow could have the same impact.
Oh, okay.
Boom.
All right. Yes, McLovin.
I just heard this thing about how in the 60s you had to choose between the Stones and the Beatles.
Yes. So
that was a real deal. And the angry people went to the Stones and was the good
it was
kids
like a,
went to the Beatles.
A mandate? Like a social?
Yes. I'm telling you, I just heard this guy interviewed be like, there was so much pressure to choose a side.
It was like you had to choose between Nirvana and Pearl Jam. Same thing.
Yeah. But I would think the Rolling Stones were a little more punk in a way, but then they're not punk at all. And so the music was
no, they were blues.
Right.
I mean, that was, they were influenced by black artists.
Isn't Pete Townsend slamming the guitar? Isn't that the...
Yes.
That feels pretty punkish.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody else was destroying their equipment, because Keith Moon would do that too, the drummer.
Is Led Zeppelin punk?
They were bluesy too. I don't know if they were punk. That if you listen to Helter Skelter, and when that came out, you're like, wait, the Beatles... this song? Like, it's crazy. When you think in that guitar, I mean, it's pretty wild to do that when they did that. Who is considered the founding fathers of punk?
Ramones are up there. MC5.
Okay.
The Stooges.
So Iggy and the Stooges?
Yeah.
That's punk. I never viewed the Ramones as punk. I mean, it's poppy.
Yeah.
Blitzkrieg Bop. Like, it's not that there's it's not an edge to it. It was unique.
But I think playing that fast and the songs being that short and that fast, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, Paul.
Devo was the, even though they're not the hardest core punk band in the world, they're the first ones that ever got a lot of airplay because of MTV.
Yeah.
Like, there was, punk bands didn't do videos. I know it's a lot later in the process, but in the early 80s, Devo got some pub.
Yeah, they seemed gimmicky, though.
Yes.
They had, like, you know, a weird thing, you know, hats on, and We Are Not Men, We Are Devo. Now, the Tubes. The Tubes were an interesting band as well. Yeah, I don't know where punk originated from, but it feels like the Beatles were right there at the forefront. Yeah, Paul?
Lead singer of the Tubes, check me wrong, Fee Waybill, was that the guy's name? His name was Fee. Great name.
I just remember having the album, but I don't know the name of the lead singer. Let me take a break. Reggie's going to join us coming up next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Discover that Discover card, and you will discover that Discover's going to match all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. There's no limit on how much you can earn, which is amazing. Even more amazing, because of all the places where Discover is accepted, 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. You can learn more. Discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. I like Rush. I don't love Rush. It should be one Rush song per show. That's it. Even then, that might be stretching a little too much.
Living in the light.
NBA competition committee will reportedly look into the way certain shooters initiate contact and draw fouls with unnatural movements, a.k.a. the Reggie Miller rule. James Harden and Trae Young have made a living out of doing this. Reg is the godfather of this. He joins us now. We're going to call it the Reggie Miller rule. What do you think?
This is getting ridiculous. I'm serious. I mean, I got penalized. I shouldn't say I, but they put the rule in about the leg kick, which to this day I still believe is a good move and a good shot.
Yeah, but it's unnatural, though. You're kicking your leg out to draw
contact. I'm not kicking. I'm just creating space. That's all. This is my space. So, look.
Okay, explain this, though. What they're focusing this rule on James Harden and Trae Young, right?
And we've been hearing this year about those two players. And I guess you can probably throw Giannis in there as well. Offensive players seeking out contact on drives, on those floaters, and initiating the contact and getting the call. It is... I think it's going to be so hard to monitor for these officials. They already got enough on their plate. Now they've got to figure out in a split second, at times without the help of replay, who's initiating the contact. They wanted scoring up. So what they're really doing is penalizing the shooter and the scorer in this instance. So I'm a little surprised at that because freedom of movement, this is what they've always wanted. So this is going to... to me, kind of hurt some of the scores because as a natural born scorer, as I was, you do seek out contact. I felt I played better and I shot better when I knew where the defender was, when I could feel him. It was a much harder shot for me if I was wide open, as opposed to someone closing to me, closing on me or being right on my body. I felt that was a little bit easier for me to get the ball off and score.
But it feels like Trae Young and James Harden, there's a gimmick about them drawing their contact.
I'm more surprised they haven't talked about like the traveling and the step backs and the side steps. To me, that's more infuriating than seeking out contact, but I kind of get it a little bit.
Less free throws, maybe faster games. Maybe that's what the NBA is trying to do here. I don't know.
Again, you're adding and piling on these officials to make split second decisions in big time moments of playoff games or for next year. I mean, I think they're overloaded already, the officials, and now you're telling them they got to be able to differentiate between who's making the contact.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Do you think that there were referees that didn't like you? Like truly didn't like you?
I wouldn't say didn't like me, but there were certainly some officials I felt at times had a bias. I wouldn't say didn't like. I mean, that's a strong word. I felt like I could communicate with most officials. There were some officials that you just couldn't say anything to. It was a quick tee, and you're kind of muted for the rest of the game. But I felt I had a pretty good relationship with most officials, though I did talk a lot to them and complain a lot to them. It's how you go about it. And
does complaining work, Reg?
No, it doesn't. But it sure made me feel better. No, it doesn't. Isn't a day? No, it doesn't. But what you're trying to do and what I was trying to do, you're always trying to plant a little bit of seed. Because if it's a close game and the game is in the balance, you want all that talking you did through 3.5 quarters to matter in the last 2 minutes of a close game. That's probably the only reason why I talked so much, was trying to plant a seed.
Reg will be on the call for the Eastern Conference Finals. Who do you expect to be in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Well, last week we talked about this was going to be a sweep by Brooklyn. They were looking great. And I keep telling people, it's great to have the best talent in the world. It's great to be well coached. But to win a championship, Theodore, you've got to have a lot of luck on your team. You think about Kobe's and Shaq's three-peat with the Lakers. You think about MJ and Scotty and back-to-back three-peats. A lot of luck. Were they talented? Absolutely. Were they well coached? Absolutely. But you've got to have a lot of luck. Can you even remember when MJ even thought about missing a game because of an injury when he was I can't remember if he ever did miss a game. And it wasn't like he was just shooting jump shots. I mean, he was driving, punishing people. And no twisted ankles, no knee issues. A lot of luck goes into winning championships. And the healthiest team is going to win this year's championship. Who's going to be standing at the end? I mean, it's unfortunate. Injuries are a part of the game. You just don't want them at this time of the year, which we're seeing right now.
Yeah, and Harden's status, he's upgraded to doubtful for tonight.
Yeah.
He's not going to play. Now it's on Kevin Durant. And he's had the benefit of these super teams recently. Now it's back to, all right.
OKC days.
Let's see what you can do. Let's see. Go out there. Let's see you win a big game.
I will say this. If there's any one player who could deliver a huge game in a moment like this, it's Kevin Durant. And I will say this, role players play better at home. I expect Brooklyn and some of these guys that normally don't get the limelight because it's Kyrie or James Harden along with KD, they'll shoot better, they'll play harder, that New York crowd will kind of energize them a little bit. It's, you know, I'm not going out on a limb here. Who wins tonight, to me, wins the series between Milwaukee and Brooklyn. If I'm Brooklyn, all I'm saying is, look, let's just win our home games. We win our home games, we advance to the conference finals. But this is Milwaukee's best chance. This will maybe their only chance, because if it goes seven games, I can't see them winning back in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
This is the chance for Milwaukee to win the series. They've got to win tonight with two superstars down for the Nets and just KD. It's got to be all our chips in the center of the table for Milwaukee. They must win tonight to win this series.
Is it a bigger game for Durant or a bigger game for the Greek Freak? Because he doesn't have any excuses here.
I agree. I think there's built-in excuses for KD because he doesn't have Kyrie and Harden. But it's the only game tonight. All eyes will be on this matchup. And let's face it, Milwaukee has come up short the last 2 years. They've had the best record the last 2 years, and they've fallen short. And Greek has not played up to MVP expectations by winning back-to-back MVPs. Come playoff, he has disappeared. He had a great game four, but you're right.
Why is he taking those threes?
What's that?
Why is the Greek Freak taking those threes?
I have no idea.
Like, and I want him to take
them. They're daring him. They're baiting him into it, but that's a recipe for disaster. I just don't get it. I really don't get it.
Yeah, I don't want him going to the hoop. If I'm Brooklyn, if you stay on the perimeter, that means you can't rebound and you're not a good shooter. So go ahead, take those shots there.
And here's the thing: it's not only the threes. I'd almost bait him into long twos too. If you're going to settle and you're not going to put pressure on Blake Griffin or any of our interior bigs, I'll settle for that. I'll win. That's a win if you're Steve Nash in Brooklyn.
He's Reggie Miller, the Hall of Famer, Turner Sports NBA analyst. He'll be on the call for the Eastern Conference Finals. Chris Paul getting a lot of love after the sweep. And I was talking to your buddy Mark Jackson yesterday on where is Chris Paul on the all-time point guard list. And he had Chris Paul up there pretty high. I like Chris, but is it asking too much that he hasn't won? And I'm not talking about an NBA title. I mean, he hadn't even had an appearance there, but like getting to the Western Conference Finals, I don't know.
This will be his second appearance in the Western Conference Finals throughout his 13 or 14 year career.
And he's played on good teams.
I will say this. If Chris ends up winning a championship, not this year or any year, in my opinion, he moves into the top five. Right now, he's not in my top five, top seven, eight right now.
Okay, so it's Magic,
Isaiah, Steph. We're considering Steph a point guard. Steph, Stockton, maybe J. Kidd.
Okay.
That would probably be my five. Now, if he wins a championship, I think he would bump Stockton out of my top five.
Wow.
If he was to win a championship. If he doesn't win a championship, he would probably be six or seven. You still got Oscar out there. You still have Gary Payton out there. Jerry West, is he considered a point guard? He's in that mix, in that discussion.
He was a shooting guard.
But I mean, people are going to say that about Steph as well, but Steph is classified as a point guard.
Yeah, but he's only
Allen Iverson, shooting guard.
No, he's a point guard.
Are we putting AI as a point guard or a shooting guard?
No, he's a point guard. He's a scorer. He's not a shooting guard.
I think Eric Snow was the point guard on that team.
Okay, what is LeBron?
He's a point guard.
Yes, he is.
Yeah,
so he's a point guard. Is he the greatest point guard of all time?
No, no one will ever trump Magic Johnson as the best point guard ever.
Well, wait a minute. We got LeBron as the second best player of all time, Reg. So he's the second best player of all time, but he's not the best point guard.
No, he's not the best point guard.
I just boxed you in a corner. I'm Scottie Pippen. I'm picking you up full court.
Yes, but I'm finding a way to get around you.
Because LeBron's a point guard.
He's a point forward.
So was Scottie. Scottie Pippen was a point forward.
So who are you taking, Scottie or LeBron?
LeBron.
All right, just want to make sure we're on the same page here.
Yeah, but all right, so LeBron's the second best point guard of all time. Yes, he is.
I guess you got to put LeBron as
he's going to end up top five in assists.
Then I'm moving J-Kidd out of there. J-Kidd is gone.
Steph.
I'm going Isaiah, Steph, no order. Magic, Isaiah, Steph. Those three are guaranteed. Those three are guaranteed. There's two spots that will always be up for debate.
That's going to be Stockton and
J-Kidd.
If you couldn't play with Magic, let me take Magic out of this. The point guard you would want to play with, current or past?
Either Isaiah or Jason Kidd for my skill set. One of those two.
But did you hate Isaiah?
Oh, man, I couldn't ask. Well, it's that Central Division. Couldn't stand him just like MJ.
Okay.
He would be smiling all in your face, acting like he's your friend and stuff, taking the biggest cheap shots ever, and one of the toughest point guards. I love me some Zeke. Former coach. Coach me.
Yeah.
But sneaky nasty. Sneaky. Sneaky.
Does he know people don't like him?
I don't think he cares.
Really?
I don't think he cares.
Like, Bill Laimbeer didn't care. Isaiah, I think, cared. Remember the whole thing with, you know, when they were going to freeze out Jordan? And, like, that bothered Isaiah.
Well, it wasn't wrong. it was true.
Did you? So you knew? Were you
I was not on that All-Star team. But rumors have it.
Would you have frozen out Jordan?
No.
If you were if Isaiah said we're not going to throw in the ball.
I don't know how you can freeze out I don't know how you can freeze.
No, you just act like he's not open.
Come on, man.
Do you think it's true, though, that he froze out Mike?
I think there was a little friendly animosity going on there. Yes, I do.
I don't think it was friendly.
Yes,
I don't think it was friendly. Judging from The Last Dance, it's not friendly. That's not friendly at all, certainly from Michael's perspective.
Hey, I'm rolling with Zeke. Zeke.
Wait, if I said you could have Zeke or Mike.
From my skill set, like to play with?
Yeah.
I'm not rolling with either one of them. I've got built up issues with both.
Okay.
I can't roll with either.
How about Steve Nash? You can play with Steve.
Oh, I can play with Steve. Yeah, that's another.
And Stockton.
Steve Nash is a top eight, right? He's got to be in that category. Certainly top 10.
The amazing thing is the Phoenix Suns had J. Kidd, Kevin Johnson, and Steve Nash at the same time.
Yes. Wow. I mean, wow.
And KJ was the starter, right? So the backup, those are the Hall of Famers with J. Kidd and Steve Nash. I don't think KJ's a Hall of Famer, is he?
No, but for those of you who have never seen Kevin Johnson, I mean, that's who those two dudes learned from, was Kevin Johnson.
Yeah.
One of the best pick and roll players maybe ever. Maybe ever.
He was athletic, man.
Oh, he was good.
He was. Oh, by the way.
He and I, we go back to our rivalry between UCLA and Cal. So we were the same draft. Look, I've had a lot of time seeing Kevin Johnson. So
I got you playing 80 games or more in a season 10 times. Durant, Harden, and Kyrie have played 80 or more games in a season 7 times combined. Would you have load management now, though?
You have to now. I mean, that's...
Like, but travel's better, nutrition is better. Like, everything is better now. It could have helped Nash with his back. It could have helped Larry Bird, maybe with load management there. Does it make sense to play 80 games in a season?
If you love the game, yeah, Theodore. I mean, I love the game. I loved playing. I loved performing. Looking back on my career, and someone told me the stat, I played in 96% of my games. I played over 1,300 games. There's something about lacing them up each and every day. Now that I look back, could I have taken a game or two off? Certainly. But I always felt there was some fan, kid, mom, dad, that was saving up their piggy bank to come watch the Indiana Pacers play either at home or on the road. And they heard about this guy named Reggie Miller who talked a lot of trash and shot 35, 40 footers. This was going to be their one opportunity to see. I didn't know who they were, but I felt it was an obligation to play. That's was my mentality of playing.
Nobody thinks that now.
It's about the money.
Yeah, I know, but I think that, you know, that you're going to be able to get into another contract. If you limit your games, you get ready for the postseason. Right. And like, you know, Kawhi, that knee is going to be an issue. I don't know how serious that knee is, if it's just arthritic and it's going to be there, you know, the rest of his life. But he might be playing himself into one more contract because of load management here. And I understand it. I don't like it. But I do understand where this is a business. Everybody's expendable, and these athletes are trying to stay as long as they can.
Yeah. And you've got to maximize what your body will deliver. And I get it, and I understand it. These are billionaires talking to millionaires.
Yeah.
And I totally get it. I get it. Because you only have one body, you only have one career, and you only have a certain window to make as much money as you can. And that's why you see certain guys take off during the regular season.
Yeah.
But to me, it's kind of catching up to them come playoff time because their body is not used to all the pounding come playoff time.
And just being in shape. Reg will be on the call for the Eastern Conference Finals. Great to talk to you again, Reg. We'll talk to you soon.
Theodore, you're the best. Love my Danettes. Love y'all.
We'll come back with phone calls after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow. I'm thinking of letting McLovin the redemption tour with Meat Friday. I'm thinking.
You don't sound confident, though.
No, I don't. But I'm trying to be a little more. I always give second chances. And I want to give you a second chance after the tofu snafu. And, maybe we do a Meat Thursday. Can Meat? You pull it together and actually, this is your redemption tour.
Are we doing Meat Thursday on a Wednesday?
We're going to do a Meat Thursday on Thursday.
On Thursday. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
That'd be good. It's plenty of time. There are a lot of farm stands that are, wait, ooh.
This is your last chance because the audience has spoken and I'm trying to fight for you here. It's a Meat Friday, and you had tofu. What part of Meat Friday don't you understand? But I'm willing to let you try one more time to do something manly. Are you up for the challenge?
I think I am, and I want the challenge.
Okay.
I want to be, I want to expand my horizons here. Nothing organic, just dead flesh.
Okay. Yes, Paulie.
Kind of feels like we're being set up, though, doesn't it? Like,
yes.
Like he's going to walk in with some Beyond Burgers.
Yeah, I know. Although I've had Beyond Burgers, I'm okay with them. I'm all right with that. All right, let's get some phone calls here. Even though Todd says don't, I'm going to get...
He bribed us with like bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches.
No. You always say don't get to phone calls.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I do say that. I don't know what they really contribute.
Kyle in California. Hi, Kyle. What's on your mind today?
Well, Todd, thank God no limerick today. That's all I got to say.
I'm
just playing. But DP, in terms of the Nets, I mean, if any other of these big three versions ever lost two of their big three, we saw what happened to the Warriors. They lost. You know, if LeBron and Wade get hurt and Bosh is left over, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Now you're relying on guys like Mike James and Tyler Johnson and – you know, McLovin, you watch the Nets and you watch Philly, too. I think this is Philly's problem. You watch last night, you get down to the end of the close game, and who are they relying on? You got Joel Embiid, but he can't create or start a play. You've got to rely on Tobias Harris and Korkmaz and all these guys. I think when you look at it, you need these guys who can handle the ball at the end of the games. Ben Simmons can't be that guy. So when I'm looking now at the field, it's, you know, would you rather have anybody else but Chris Paul or Devin Booker handling the ball late like that?
Well, those guys make free throws, too. That's another – it's health and then the ability to make free throws because we're seeing that you got guys who are injured and then you have teams that can't make free throws as well. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, Giannis's free throws. We mentioned Ben earlier. Their percentage is still very low.
Tom in New York. Hey, Tom, what's on your mind?
What's going on? 6 foot and a sexy 178.
All right.
So, guys, the Nets Bucks over under is 217.5 tonight. Should I take the under or over? I'm thinking the under.
I can't help you there, Tom. Unless
McLovin, maybe.
I don't know.
If you want to lose money.
No. Well, but why don't you give your suggestion and then Tom can go the other way?
Here's what I'm thinking: the Bucks are just going to blitz Kevin Durant all night, and there's no way the Nets get offense going. I'd go under.
Right.
Because of P.J. Tucker, but can I ask you, are they going to call stuff on P.J. Tucker? Is Steve Nash going to be affected?
Well, if you're not going to get those calls at home, then you're not going to get those calls anywhere. If they're going to, I wonder if they call a touchy foul on P.J. Tucker early and almost sets the temperature there.
But you said this is a lot on Durant.
Yes.
But he just doesn't, if you're the Bucks, who else are you scared of? There's just nobody, just put all your guys on him, make someone else beat you.
Christian in Maine. Hey, Christian.
Hey, Dan, what's up?
Hi, you called me.
Hey. Yeah, I called you.
Oh, yeah.
I want to throw down the gauntlet.
Oh, wow.
To the saucy Aussie and the Hebrew guru on their limericks.
Okay.
And bring it back to your Irish and my Scottish heritage.
All right.
Here's a limerick for you.
All right.
There once was a bald man named Fritz, whose limericks gave me the fits. He loved Hall & Oates. His mock headlines weren't jokes, and he can't even rhyme the word pork.
I see what he did there.
Very creative. I like
all
it.
Right.
Creative stuff.
All right. That's a shot there.
That's all right. That was well done. Mm-hmm. I could deal with it as long as if it's good or clever, then I'm all
Jonathan enough. In Memphis joins us.
Hey, hey Dan. What's up? 6'1", 188.
Yeah. What do you got for him?
Adonis bod, clearly. Suck it back right. Look, Dan, that Bryson situation, I can't get over it.
Okay.
Who wouldn't want to pair it up with their arch rival, especially after the publicity where he purposefully pissed Brooks off walking behind his interview? He's got the ultimate all eyes on me situation, and you decline? Like, I seriously don't get it. Steve Elkington nicknamed him Science. In what universe are you supposed to be the scientist and you shy away from the greatest experiment? Name another great player in sports history that would hide in a box when faced with their rival. Look, I like BD's game, but you got to step up to the plate when the time presents itself.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan. Yeah, I, you know, it's hard enough, and DeChambeau's probably saying I'm the defending champ. They at least came to me. You don't want a sideshow. You got to focus on winning here. Yes, Todd.
Was DeChambeau really photobombing? Maybe I missed something. He purposely went out of his way to try to get in the shot or the video. I thought he just happened to be walking by
no,
when the interview was
going. I don't think he did. I think he talks loud, and I think Brooks has problems with DeChambeau's metal spikes that he wear. I don't know. Like, it's at this, you know, it's one of those where you go, those two don't like each other. And then you forget, why is it they don't like each other? I just think Bryson comes off as a know-it-all. And, you know, maybe Brooks is just like, we don't need to hear all this E equals MC square. We don't need that. And maybe that's what bothers him, that Bryson has received so much attention, publicity on being this mad scientist. And he just doesn't view it that way. What did you learn on today's program, Todd?
If a major league pitcher is caught with a foreign substance, he basically gets a 10-day paid vacation. Good job.
Yeah, well, they cracked down in baseball. McLovin?
You flummoxed and stymied Reggie Miller with a LeBron point.
Yeah, I did. Seton?
Mike Florio's got money because he doesn't waste it on gambling.
Paulie?
The Reggie Miller rule, in effect.
What we learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz vans. They go far beyond, built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile. Taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets, all-around support. Been our pleasure to serve you. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day. One more item. We close out the show. M-Drive. Warmer weather, getting outside, travel plans, summer's here. Time of the year that you want to look and feel your best. So what are you doing? You got to be proactive. M-Drive Boost and Burn, the supplement that can help you drop the unwanted pounds, give you energy, that energy boost that you'll need for your summer plans. Packed with clinically tested ingredients, M-Drive Boost and Burn helps build lean muscle and burn body fat. You can find M-Drive Boost and Burn at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shoppe. It's a 60-day money-back guarantee, nothing to lose except for some pounds. You got free shipping? Visit mdrivedan.com. Get lean, get strong, and get looking your best. That's mdrivedan.com. It's tough keeping off the weight as you get older, so fight back with M-Drive Boost and Burn. Get ready for everything that summer is going to bring. mdrivedan.com. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive. mdrivedan.com. Or Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shoppe.